Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Blackhawks Live. Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones, nice slot, fires, Patson, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line, down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Remiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome into Blackhawks Live. Charlie Remiliotis here with Jack Heinrich riding shotgun with me. Jack, it's not as bitterly cold outside as it was the last time we were doing a show together. So yes, that's a positive.
It's a lot better. Yeah. I didn't even bring a coat into the station. Yeah. It's nice.
Anything above 32 now feels like, is summer around the corner?
Yeah,
can we get our shorts out yet?
Springtime?
Yeah. Man, a lot happening over the last week. It feels like there's been things to talk about within the games, but Friday night, there was obviously the Blackhawks had a game against Tampa Bay, but it was the what was brewing off the ice that was kind of had, we had one eye on the game, one eye that was brewing off the ice, and so we'll talk about that on in this show. But most notably, Kyle Davidson, Blackhawks general manager, did his mid-season media availability check-in, kind of a little bit more of a later middle season check-in before the Blackhawks hit the road today for their three-game road trip. And he spoke to the media for about 30 minutes. So over the course of this show, we're kind of going to break down some of the most notable sound bites and share our thoughts from it. But let's start with Friday, where, you know, going into the game, we had gotten word that Seth Jones was going to be a scratch because of an illness, and so he thought, okay, nothing of it. But then we get notified that Taylor Hall was going to be a scratch, and we were not given a reason why. And so around this time of the year, obviously your mind goes to, he's probably a scratch for management reasons, or like protecting the manage or protecting the asset. And that's exactly what happened. And it got reported out there that Taylor Hall was going to be involved in a trade going to Carolina. And you're like, okay, you know, this makes sense. Well, then the magnitude of the trade starts to take shape. And it's like, oh, by the way, Mikko Rantanen is going to be traded to Carolina as well. And it was a jaw dropper across the entire NHL. So let me recap the quick three-way trade between Colorado, Carolina, and Chicago. So the Hurricanes acquired Mikko Rantanen and Taylor Hall. The Avalanche acquired Marty Natchez, Jack Drury, a 2025 second, and a 2026 fourth round pick. And Chicago gets a 2025 third round pick, which is their own draft pick that they sent to Carolina at the draft this past year, to retain 50% of Rantanen's salary. Now, naked eye, you look at this and you're like,
everybody's mad.
Yeah, everyone's mad. It's like, how did the Hawks only get a third round pick out of this? And I think it's fair to those that aren't quite sure what Chicago was thinking from this perspective. But here's what I'll say. I think there are two camps. I think there's the one camp that says, how come the Blackhawks got a third round pick for retaining Rantanen's salary, but they couldn't get another third round pick for potentially trading Taylor Hall and retaining his salary too, right? So there's that aspect where it's like, could Chicago have gotten two third round picks out of this trade? And then the other camp is, could the Blackhawks have done a better job of getting a higher pick? Like, could they have gotten a second round pick? And to that, I say, we're talking about semantics of maybe like an 8 to 10 spot difference, because the second round pick that Carolina sent to Colorado is likely going to be a late second round pick. And so Chicago ended up getting their own third rounder back. And as it stands right now, Jack, that third round pick is going to be the second pick in the third round. So it's essentially a late second. And so semantically, we're talking about 8 to 10 spot difference. So it's I know to the public eye, it kind of looks weird, but when you kind of nail it down, that's what Chicago's thinking was. Kyle Davidson, Blackhawks general manager, he explained the thought process behind Friday's trade from Chicago's perspective. Here's what he had to say.
You know, it was pretty minimal on our side. obviously, pretty big deal. I think there was a little bit of confusion on what our role was in that. You know, I think for us, we were happy to get, you know, the asset we got back. You know, in moving Taylor, I think it was something that was, you know, probably going to happen at some point. We're not going to use our two retained salary transactions on being involved in this one and then maybe another one with Taylor later on. And so it was one or the other. So we were either going to be involved in this or we weren't. And from my estimation, the market was probably around that, even if we stayed out of this altogether and just, you know, took the player to market later on and got a pick for him later on. But in waiting, you run the risk of things like injury, loss of, you know, the role was diminishing almost, you know, by the game. And so it just wasn't heading towards a way that was going to maximize or enhance value. And so in moving then, and we moved at full price and held on the other player involved. And so, you know, it didn't make sense to wait and, you know, not really get a better return later on. It was basically what we thought or hoped we would get. And so just move forward with it instead of risking all the things that go along with just holding on to a player and fingers crossed, maybe the value increases marginally a little bit down the stretch. So
that was Davidson explaining the thought process behind Chicago's point of view. And it makes sense from a standpoint too of Taylor Hall was relegated to the fourth line for the Blackhawks and his value really wasn't going up. I think at best, the Blackhawks probably would have been able to get a third round pick for Taylor Hall alone. And so to move up 20 to 25 spots from the end of the third round to the beginning of the third round, getting their own third round draft pick by retaining Rantanen's salary instead of Hall's, it makes sense from that perspective for Chicago.
Yeah, and at least for me, when we're trying to follow what was going on during the trade, and then you see, oh, this is going to be monster, I think even subconsciously, you kind of are like, oh, the Hawks are going to kind of be in on like the big prize, you know, like maybe they'll get something like, oh, maybe it's a second round pick, or maybe they'll get some kind of exciting player just because the deal is so big. But they're really just kind of that third team that needed to make the money work. So at least that's how I was thinking. I was like, oh, maybe they'll get something pretty interesting or big. But then you look at it and then Kyle explains it, you kind of see what they're saying. And getting their third round pick, I mean, like you said, they're, you're saying it would be the second pick right now, the third round, which is a lot higher than their Carolina's, because they're obviously going for it. But so basically, didn't they trade it last year to get somebody? So basically, that guy they drafted last year, they got for, I guess, quote unquote, free or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
I forgot
who it was.
Look this up. I'm almost positive they sent Carolina's pick to trade up to get Merrick Vanacker. And so at the end of the first round. So I think that was part of the deal. And so, yeah, from that perspective, you get your own third round pick and it allows you to do something similar in this year's draft if the Hawks want.
Right. They're all loaded up now to make a push. But yeah, at least for me, subconsciously, like, oh, this is a monster deal. The Hawks are going to, this is a big swing for the Hawks, even though they're kind of on the outside looking in. That's how I looked at it. Maybe some other people looked at it like that too. And you look at Taylor Hall and all his accolades we were talking before. It's like, oh, this guy's won the MVP and all this. But if a lot of people aren't around the team like you are or I've been. So he's working his way back from injury, and he's a different player than he was 5-6 years ago. And there's nothing wrong with that. He's still a solid player. But sometimes you got to temper your expectations when you're looking at stuff like that. Because when your team trades someone, you always think they're price is a little higher, you have a little bias, so it is like a late second. So
yeah,
that's what a lot of people thought it would be, something like that. They get that deal done and we'll see what else they have up their sleeve.
Yeah, so the Blackhawks are allowed 3 salary retention spots per year, which is an NHL, every team gets 3 salary retention spots, right? So one of them is being used by Jake McCabe already. Mm-hmm. The Blackhawks ended up retaining on his deal last year or 2 years ago. And so by retaining Rantanen, now they have one more slot available. So Davidson, you just heard, he didn't want to use both slots or both of his remaining slots in one trade. And then it limits his ability to potentially trade someone else by needing to retain salary. And so from that perspective, I also understand. And then last thing, I know there was speculation on whether the Blackhawks wanted to get their own draft pick back for offer sheet reasons, where like you need your own draft picks in order to offer sheet pending restricted free agents. But that is not the, that doesn't apply here because the Hawks technically need their, they need to make sure they keep their 2026 draft picks if they want to offer sheet someone in the summer, because the compensation is the year after the draft. Like, we saw St. Louis offer sheet Dylan Holloway and Philip Broberg, mm-hmm. and St. Louis needed to reacquire their own picks from Pittsburgh, and then I think it was from Ottawa. I can't remember the second team, but they needed to reacquire their own picks back to offer sheet them. And so those offer sheets came in August. And so if that's the case for Chicago, if they wanted to go that route, it's more of a 2026 thing. The other interesting part, too, is, so I know Rantanen's going to be a UFA at the end of this season, and clearly he would not have been traded if Colorado didn't feel like they were very far apart in contract negotiations. So if there's a possibility that Rantanen doesn't re-sign or doesn't sign an extension with Carolina, where they maybe they don't see eye to eye in contract talks, the Hawks are in a position, and Kyle Davidson specifically, where if they want to go big game hunting, they can do so, not doing so irresponsibly, but Kyle Davidson has made it clear that he's kind of open for business in that department. And so he was asked currently about the state of the rebuild and whether he was expecting to be out of it at this point. Here's what he had to say earlier today.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think what I mentioned was we were out of the rebuild stage. Like, we're very, in terms of a rebuild and building up through our young players, you know, a lot of the players are still in amateur hockey. And so, like, we're not out of that. We can't lose sight of that. Did I expect us to be better than second last? I did. But that doesn't at all mean that I'm concerned about the bigger picture here, about the bigger process at play here in terms of where we're headed and how good this group and this young group coming up can be. That hasn't changed at all. I'm probably more optimistic having seen the years that our young players are having throughout the organization. I'm probably more optimistic now than I was in the summer in that respect. Having said that, for this group at the NHL level, I did expect a little more. And you know, we made a coaching change, as you know, because of that. You know, that's a pretty big indicator that I just didn't feel like the group was where they needed to be. And so, you know, that's, that in itself is disappointing. But from a macro level and a much higher level view, I'm really excited and really happy with where things are headed. But like you said, the NHL team, I wish we did have a little more success here in the first half than we have. But it doesn't diminish the progress that I think we are making, big picture.
Yeah, so I think Kyle is talking about there, at the end of last season, during his exit interviews, he clearly elevated expectations as a group. They didn't want to be in the bottom three again, right? They make a coaching change when they're dead last, and obviously approaching the end of January here, the Blackhawks are second to last in the standings. And so from his point of view, yeah, they're not where they want to be in the standings this year, but I don't think it diminishes anything in the long term, because, like, let's just say the Hawks were a few notches higher in the standings. I'm not sure that really changes anything in the big picture. I think it just makes the short-term picture more manageable. Like, if you're winning hockey games while you're going through a rebuild, then it's like, okay, cool, it's easy to be patient. But when you're losing, when you're dead last in the NHL or second to last in the NHL and you're losing during the rebuild, it's really hard to be positive and optimistic. But there are a lot of guys in, whether it's Rockford, now they're in, like, the NHL club with Colton Dock and Frank Nazar and all these young defensemen, but also the Nick Lardises, the Ryan Greens, the Roman Kantsaroffs, the Sasha Boyveas, all those players, they're thriving in their respective junior ranks or amateur hockey ranks. And so that's been encouraging to see. And Davidson doesn't feel any concern at all about the overall state of the rebuild, because none of these guys are here yet and they're all developing nicely. So it's like, let them marinate and come over when they're ready.
Yeah. And that's, and when you start a rebuild, you're going to bottom out a few years. I think they wanted to, they already were the first pick and the second pick. So I think they wanted to move up maybe in like 5 to 10 range, draft picks. So like 5 to 10 in the bottom there. But, yeah, it does make it hard just because We've seen a lot of blown leads. We've seen it's hard to watch some of those games when you're just like, oh, I can kind of tell they're not going to hold this lead, or, you know, you get impatient because that's mainly what you're watching is the NHL product. So it is tough, and it's hard to take like that full view. But I think if you're on Twitter, you're able to see some of their prospects and how well they're doing no matter where they are. And it is hard to – I know a lot of people want to pile on the GM when the team's not performing. But his guys aren't even here yet. So I know you keep saying like you got to wait and see, but it's the truth. You got to wait and see. There's only, what, like two guys that Davidson's drafted on the roster right now. So – and those two guys are playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
So it's hard, but you got to wait. And hopefully by the end of the year, there's more guys coming up and they're getting more and more of those guys. And hopefully if they get to the pro level and some of these guys struggle, then it's fair to start criticizing the GM. But right now it's hard when you're just signing free agents to fill spots. I think Davidson said earlier in the media, he's like, well, we signed so many people because we had so many holes.
Right.
So that's why they have so many veterans. But now they're clearing the way for the young guys.
Yeah, I think the Davidson's challenge is trying to bridge the gap between the now and when the other young guys are ready to be full-time NHL players. Not just, oh, you know, Ryan Green, you know, turns pro at the end of his college season, like he's going to need a little bit of a runway too. Or when Oliver Moore and Sam Renzel turn pro, it's not just going to be, oh, who cool, they're here for a few games and they're ready to be full-time NHL players. Like, they need that buffer too. And some of them might spend time in the minors as well. So it's like, if you're Davidson, you're trying to figure out, how do I bridge the gap between the present and the future without the present being so dismal or so dire, right, where it's like it's a negative locker room to walk into. And I think part of the reason why the Blackhawks have been recalling all these players like Frank Nazar and Colton Dock, now Landon Slaggart, Ethan Del Mastro and Louis Crevier and Nolan Allen, like all these young players on the roster, I feel like part of that might be because it's like they're invested in the future. So it's like, might as well. Now, they're not doing so irresponsibly, like calling up these players irresponsibly, because most of these guys have been, like, they've earned it, right? But it's like, but it's also nice to see them here in the NHL, because they know that if they perform well, they have an opportunity to be part of the long-term future for the Blackhawks. So hopefully that continues for those young guys that are here in the NHL now.
Yeah, and this year hasn't gone how they wanted, and that's been stated, but now I think it's an opportunity for these young guys to play. Like you said, they've earned the right to come up, and if some of the veterans on the one-year deal aren't doing as well, then maybe the Hawks are going to look at the future with some of these other guys. And I think that's smart, because you can't replicate game experience, and you can give these guys game experience when the pressure isn't on for them to acclimate to the NHL game.
Right. All right, we got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live. More takeaways from Davidson's press conference earlier today, but we'll also hear Davidson when it's going to be time to get aggressive for the Blackhawks and his message to the fans who are getting a little antsy. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich with you. I was about to say Tuesday night, but it's Monday night. Typically, we've been doing the shows on Tuesday night lately because the Hawks have had some games on Monday. So, first segment, we talked about what Davidson was about, the three-way trade and the overall state of the rebuild. And now I want to get to how the Blackhawks can help push this thing forward. And I was teasing Mikko Rantanen earlier, and then got sidetracked because I realized we were saving the soundbite for the second segment. So this is, if you're wondering why I pivoted weirdly, this is why. And so the Hawks end up with Rantanen, how I was mentioning, if Carolina does not sign him to a long-term deal, then he's going to be a UFA this summer, right? And there's also another guy in Toronto named Mitch Marner, who's who's a pending UFA. He has not signed an extension yet with Toronto. And it got me thinking, a lot of us are thinking, we know that the Hawks want to be patient with their young players, with Bedard and Frank Nazar and some of the young players that haven't even sniffed the NHL yet, whether it's Levshinov, Renzel, Oliver Moore, Ryan Green, who we were mentioning, Sacha Boisvert, Roman Kantsarov, all these players. But it's like, at what point do the Blackhawks find themselves in a situation where they can go big game hunting and they can land a big fish? Like, I think of when the Blackhawks had signed Marian Hossa. It was such a perfect storm for Chicago because the infrastructure of that team was already in place. Even though it wasn't a traditional rebuild, the Hawks just kind of lucked into all these picks because they didn't really have any direction back then. And it was, you know, Brent Seabrook and Duncan Keith and Patrick Sharp, and they had Marty Havlat at the time. They had all these great pieces. Marty Lapointe was massive. Anytime you talk about that 2007-8 team, you hear about the influence that Marty Lapointe had. And so there was a really healthy infrastructure when Kane and Taves stepped into those situations. But now you see Connor Bedard specifically stepping into a situation where it's like a lot of the guys he's going to be playing with are not even here yet, and they're not even sniffing the NHL because they're still in juniors or in college. And once they make the transfer over to North America, they're going to need a couple years of seasoning, whether that's in the minors or even just in the NHL, trying to get acclimated to the professional game of hockey. And so I think with Kyle Davidson, he knows that he can't just keep rolling out the same roster or just kind of patching up the roster with some temporary stopgaps. At some point, he is going to have to be aggressive in trying to land some of these bigger fish. And we actually saw the pursuit of it somewhat last year with Jake Guentzel. Reportedly, the Hawks were really making a push for him. He chose Tampa Bay, clearly, because the situation was better, because the Blackhawks are just not ready to compete yet in the window that Jason or Jake Guentzel wanted to. And so for Chicago, for Kyle Davidson, he was asked today about when they're about hoping to weaponize that cap space and the assets that he has, whether it's draft capital or prospects, to potentially get aggressive in wanting to land a big name fish, whether that's via trade or free agency. And here was his reply when he got asked that question.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, if options come available that make sense, then we'll consider it for sure. There's no, you know, because we're in the process of a rebuild doesn't mean that we have to make every single pick that we've got in our bank, right? Like if something comes along or options come available that bear consideration and can that makes sense for our group, then we're all for it. There's no rigidity to or trying to be firm to a certain plan that we have to do it this way all the way until the end of time, and you know, we're just going to keep running it back at the draft or what have you. You know, there's, you have to be fluid, you have to be nimble in these things. We're always reevaluating, considering options, and so that's something we'll do. It's never about just we started this and at that first draft in Montreal, and we're just going to keep going this way and we're never going to change course. Like, I think you've got to have stages and you've got to have different maneuvers along the way, and I'm extremely open to considering whatever is out there. But again, I can't say I want to do something if nothing's there. You know, you have to just take what comes your way, and you can't manufacture something out of thin air just because you want to, or you want to do something a little bit differently than you have. It's got to be available to you. It's got to be there for you to act upon. And if something comes along that makes sense, then I'm certainly going to act. But I can't manufacture that myself.
Kyle Davidson, you can hear it in his voice that he wants to do something, and he's very open to the options that it could present. But it's kind of funny, around trade deadline time, you always hear from the Stanley Cup / playoff contenders that are looking to add pieces to their roster. And it's like, Colorado is looking for a second line center that is a two-way guy, and he's, you know, under cost control. And it's like, well, get in line, because everyone else is looking for the same thing. Or, you know, you hear about looking for a right shot defenseman that's top four guy, can play in all situations, that his price tag isn't too high, and he's under a cost controlled for several years. And it's like, well, all 32 teams are looking for that guy too. And so that's similar to what Kyle Davidson is saying here. Like, yeah, he would love to add a big piece at some point to help propel this rebuild forward, not to do so in an irresponsible way where he wants to fast track this, but more so if it makes sense where you can sign a guy or trade for a guy that is good price tag, not expensive, will be here for the long term, then it makes sense to give up assets or spend big money on a UFA like that. But like you heard Kyle, he's like, I can't manufacture that. So there's one thing to actually say you want to go out and get that player, but then there's another of trying to find the right fit. So like that. So for example, like Vancouver with Elias Pettersson and JT Miller, like everyone's, one of those two guys is going to get traded like before the deadline because they clearly cannot coexist for whatever reason. And it's like I get questions sometimes from people that are like, oh, Chicago, they should throw their names into the mix for Pettersson, like he would be great, or for JT Miller. It's like, cool. But like Vancouver, they might be they're looking for NHL players and they're not looking for draft picks. Like if you're an NHL team that's looking to tear it down and the Hawks are looking, you know, for whatever, let's just say hypothetically Buffalo wants to tear it down and it's like, oh, Dylan Cousins is available, like cool, like the Hawks can trade for him and they can give up, they can give Buffalo assets or future assets in draft capital or prospects. But if you're a team like Vancouver that's looking for NHL players for Miller or Pettersson, the Hawks are probably not the dance partner. And so that's what kind of Davidson is saying, not specific to that situation, but saying like, we need a dance partner that would want to coexist with us, but also you need the player that to want to come here too. And so that from that perspective, it can get a little it could be a little challenging because you can throw your name into the mix like the Hawks did with Jake Guentzel, but if that player feels like you're still far away, it's not going to be appealing just yet.
Right. It's finding that balance, but the nice thing is they do have that cap flexibility right now. So if like you say, Rantanen wants 14 a year, the Hawks can afford that right now. So sometimes money talks, but you're right. The situation has to fit. There's a lot of different things. But the nice thing is, at least right now, the Hawks, I think, have 9 more picks right now. They've already made all those first-round picks, so they have a lot of, like you said, assets. So when that time comes, hopefully they can find that guy and push all their chips in and get him. But there are a lot of moving parts. It takes two to make a trade or to sign a free agent. So hopefully that's soon, because that'd be fun to get like a big name star while these guys are coming up, and then the UC's really buzzing. But they got to wait for that. Like you said, it's like a perfect storm, and that's a good point too about Vancouver. Like, yeah, the Hawks could give them a bunch of draft picks, but they probably still want to try to make the playoffs. So,
right.
And I'm not sure how much the players on the roster right now can help them with that, where they are in the rebuild.
Yeah, exactly. And so it is challenging. And so I imagine Davidson is going to have a lot of bobbers in the water over the summer specifically.
Oh yeah.
And it's just a matter of who bites, like what's the situation? Is the price tag way too high that it just doesn't make sense to mortgage too much of the future for to acquire guys or sign guys that it's beyond your comfort level? So all that stuff plays into it, but it's nice to see Davidson at least acknowledge, like he realizes the urgency is the wrong word, but like the sense of, we don't want to just sit back and be so patient with this rebuild that we're just kind of sitting on our hands and waiting. Like you want to look for ways to potentially add to the roster that could be significant pieces to the next great Blackhawks team moving forward. Let's get to our next topic. I forgot to plug this Hawks click poll at the beginning of the show, but we put something out on social media and on WGNradio.com. The poll question for today: how do you currently feel about the Blackhawks rebuild? And there were three answers: confident and optimistic, on board but getting impatient, and the last one is a little concerned. And the confident and optimistic and on board but getting impatient were the two kind of front runners, but now it's tilted towards the 46% say a little concerned, 32% say on board but getting impatient, and then you have 22% say confident and optimistic. What's funny is it feels like if the Blackhawks were 27th in the standings, it's probably like 20% a little concerned and not 46, which is hilarious to me in some way, because this year doesn't matter one way or another. I think people are just like, oh, like the Hawks are maybe a little bit more further away than we think because they're not performing well. But I don't see that at all. I think the guys that are on this roster, most of the guys that were on this roster at the beginning of the year are not going to be here long term. And so it's really hard to find, kind of establish some sort of mix of guys that are kind of just here to be mentors, but also some of the young guys. And so I think the normal fan would probably, not normal, but like on board but getting impatient is probably like the right answer, where it's like you're on board with the rebuild. It was the right call to do, but I think a lot of people are getting antsy. Like we want to find ways to fast track this.
Yeah, I was actually in the minority. I said confident and optimistic, mainly because a lot, and Davidson talked about this, a lot of their prospects that are in junior and college are playing so well. And right now, I mean, we don't know how it's going to translate to the NHL, but Nick Lardis got 42 goals. That sounds good to me in the OHL, I think. So Sam Renzel's been good. So a lot of the guys aren't here. So I'm still kind of I'm optimistic and confident because they've had such high draft capital and they've made a lot of picks. And so I'm feeling pretty good about it. And we've seen, going back to your being aggressive, Kyle Davidson's gone after Jake Guentzel. He's tried to make moves moving up in the draft as well. That haven't worked out. So he is looking for those opportunities that hasn't hit yet. But right now, until we see more of these guys up, I don't see, at least me, I'm no expert, but I don't see a reason why to start questioning some of the draft picks. If you want to question his free agency signings, that's fine. But like you said, a lot of these guys probably aren't going to be here when they're all in and going for it. So, but for me, I'm feeling a little positive today. So I don't know.
Kyle Davidson had a message specifically to the fans that are getting a little antsy. Here's what he had to say earlier.
Well, I think, you know, this is the process that we're running, right? And we're, when we set out a little while ago to build this thing back up, is that we needed to build through the draft. We needed to find our new core. And that takes time. That the players have to grow. They have to mature. They've got to develop. And we're in that process, and we're seeing those steps taking place. You know, it may not, especially this year, have resulted in more wins at the NHL level, but we're seeing that happen underneath the surface here. We're seeing, you know, I think Connor's taken a really nice step the last little while. You're seeing Frank come up and take some steps. You're seeing all these young defensemen starting to play at the NHL level and get experience and get reps, and that's great for development. We're seeing our players in amateur hockey really take a step. This takes time. You know, we knew it would take time, and there's nothing that's gone on, you know, in our prospect group, in the development of our young players, that's causing me concern. You know, of course, you go to the NHL rink and you go to the United Center, you watch on TV, and it's, you want the team to win. I feel that way too. Players, coaches, everyone feels that way. Having said that, we are in the process of a rebuild here, and it's going to be on the backs of our young players and prospects, and we really are excited about what's going on within that group and how they're developing. And so, you know, that's for me, you know, when you're looking at the progress of the big picture, that's where it sits, and the progress has been extremely positive.
So you heard Kyle Davidson there, but also earlier in the soundbite that we played when he was asked about the overall state of the rebuild, he had acknowledged that he's like, I'm probably more optimistic now than I was in the summer in that respect, because a lot of these young players are developing very nicely away from the NHL, where it's Renzel or it's a Kancerov that's popping onto the scene. It's Nick Lardis being the best goal scorer in the OHL. All these young players are taking steps. And so, you know, I get it that it stinks that part of the process is that it's just going to take time. But I think you can do far more harm than good by trying to fast track it irresponsibly versus just being overly patient.
Yeah, definitely. And I know it's probably not what people want to hear, but maybe looking back in a few years, if the Hawks end up in the bottom three and they get a top three pick, it might be a blessing in disguise because they might be able to get another really high-end impact player.
Yeah.
But it is hard now because, I mean, you're seeing a lot of the same results and losing in the same way, and it is frustrating when you're just turning the game on and it's just like, oh, I don't feel like they're going to win. And obviously they're trying. You can tell, especially when Nick Foligno talks, like, they want to win. They're trying to figure it out. And who knows what's going wrong. I think they asked Kyle Davidson, like, what's kind of gone wrong. And he's like, well, when you're at the bottom, there's a bunch of things and we're trying to figure it out. But yeah, it's tough. But maybe in the summer when we're sitting around at the draft and they're picking like two or three or something, maybe they get lucky and get number one again. Maybe we'll feel a little better. And then maybe next year they can ride that wave with some of the more younger guys coming up from Rockford or other guys signing entry levels. So it is tough though now because you want to see them win. We've mentioned it before, all the Chicago teams have struggled, so you're kind of hoping one can just maybe get you through the dark of the winter, but it's not there yet. But maybe it could be a blessing in the future if they land some another impact player.
Yeah, selfishly, we wanted them to win now while the rebuild is going on. You know, mm-hmm. It would be a win-win, but so it doesn't usually work out that way. And so, yeah, if it is a blessing in disguise, Hawks will get another top pick, and they'll be able to hopefully, for their sake, that player will be an impact type player down the road, unless they trade it for some, you know, make some big splash. But yeah, so it was a really solid 30 minutes that we heard from Kyle Davidson. So that was those are basically the highlights of it. We're going to take one more break, and then we're just going to wrap up the show with addressing the goaltending situation and Laurent Brossoit update. If he does return, how Chicago is going to manage a three-goalie tandem. So you're listening to Blackhawks Live right here on 720 WGN. Back here on Blackhawks Live, Charlie Romeliotis and Jack Heinrich putting a bow on this Monday episode after Kyle Davidson's mid-season media check-in earlier today. The one other thing I wanted to get to before we sign off here, Laurent Brossoit has not played all season long because of a knee injury, and he had that cleanup procedure a couple months ago. I can't remember when exactly it was. I think it was in December at some time, or maybe even end of November. And so if the Blackhawks do run into a situation where he returns this season, Kyle Davidson did not seem concerned whatsoever that the Hawks would be able to manage a three-goalie system, which is not traditional in the NHL, because typically it's just unfair to all the goalies where you're one of the goalies is sharing the net at practice, and it just gets a little weird. But it doesn't seem like that's going to be something that the Blackhawks are going to be concerned about, at least this year. I think it's a bigger question as far as next season goes, going into the summer, if Brossoit returns towards the end of this season, or even if he doesn't return at all, going into next season, how do you manage a three-goalie system for a full 82-game season? I don't think that would be in the cards. I think the Hawks would try to figure that out in due time, but it didn't seem like the Blackhawks or Kyle Davidson was concerned at all if Brossoit ends up returning towards the end of the season and they have to kind of go through the final month maybe with three goalies. So we'll see there. Thought it was a really insightful media conference by Davidson today. I'm sure there will be a lot more things to talk about in the coming weeks as the trade deadline approaches, but we're also going to hit that Four Nations tournament. So hope you enjoyed the show today. Our next show is going to be next Monday at 7 p.m. Thanks for listening to Blackhawks Live, and we'll catch you next week.